how are you?
I'm good. Well, thank you, Cleo. This is going to be great fun.
Yeah, I'm glad that we actually finally could record our interview since last time.
Absolutely. I think we should tell everybody we had this magnificent interview chat, what, a couple of weeks ago now. It was so fun and so spontaneous and covered so many great points. And then I was like, didn't record.
Oops.
But never mind. Yeah.
But now it's recording, so it's just
that's exactly right.
We can have it. It's gonna be a little less spontaneous, maybe. I hope not.
That's right.
Anyways, so Judith, tell us a little bit about you, your life, how you what you do as a profession, as a job, and why you're here.
Okay, so I run, well, I've got two branches of my business at the moment. So one of them is I help bilingual early childhood educators to become amazing at sharing their languages with the children. So those are all of the, all of those wonderful educators you see in childcare who have English as a second language, or I don't know, if you're in another country, they're just, they're speaking a second language, maybe it's not English. And they have this brilliant opportunity to share their languages with the children, and it's not happening. So I've thought, hey guys, I can, a lot of them want to do it, and they tell me that they would love to, but they say, I just don't know how, or I don't have the time in the program. And so I've said, well, you know what? I know how, and I know how you can use this without having to find more time in your program. So that's really exciting. I'm expanding into that at the moment. And then prior to, well, include, you know, in addition to that and leading up to this, I've been running, I started off running French sessions in preschools and childcare centres just by myself. So it's been like 18 years now. Just happens from an opportunity where somebody, a friend, sent me a newspaper clipping in the mail, and there was a local council hall that was asking for somebody to come and run some language sessions. They didn't care what language, but it needed to be for toddlers and preschoolers. And I'm like, I did nannying for years. I love being with kids, and I speak enough French. I did French in high school. I loved it. I ended up marrying a French Swiss man, so I had a bit of practice with it.
Convenient.
Very for convenient. Practice. So I said, hey, I'm going to do this. And I rocked up, and they said, okay, you can start. And to be honest, oh my goodness, when I look back, I think I'm so surprised that anybody turned up again, because I was just really totally unprepared. Like I had a few ideas, but I was really not sure exactly what I was going to do.
And listen, you improvised.
Yeah, I did. I improvised. I didn't decide the rules. Okay, the rules were that it was for children from 1.5 years up to five. Mm. 1.5 until five. So already that's like a crazy age difference to be trying and keep everybody engaged.
Yeah, like a big gap. And
then, yeah, and then the parents were with me watching. So there's that extra added sort of pressure of, okay, I've got to keep having fun with the kids, and I've got to kind of impress the parents. Anyway, so it ended up, I'd go up there and I'd have a few ideas, and then when I left, I'd be like, my brain would start clicking over. Oh my gosh, okay, I could do this, I could do that. I need to go home and make this. And with every week, I had new ideas for some games that I could create, and then I would slowly develop some techniques to actually make the kids really engage. And I realized that they love it when it's funny, so I'd always finding ways to make it funny, and just all these techniques that I put together. And over the years, and those parents loved it, and they would talk to the directors of their childcare centres.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, these great French sessions. So I've received phone calls from childcare centres asking me to go and run French. So it just kind of grew from there.
Right. And, interesting.
My background was just that I did French at school. I moved into nannying. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then became passionate about early childhood education, philosophy, psychology. While I was nannying, I was going to the library, getting as many books as I can on all of this. So I always enjoyed that. So
that's great.
Yeah, it just kind of happened accidentally, and it's turned into this thing. So
no, and I think it has a great impact. Could you actually meet some of your students later on in life and see whether they remembered it? They had it, like, you know, they had a nice experience afterwards. They could hold the memory of the language that they learned when they were so little.
Well, so here's what I've discovered is that I have bumped into some of the children, not when they've been, oh, a couple of times I've seen them when they're older, but mostly just after they start school. And I might bump into them. And yes, they do remember a little bit, but over time, you know, what they're doing in the preschool is, it might only be 10 minutes, maximum half an hour in a week. Well, some of the centres would have us there every day, but still it's a small period of time every day. So we're not trying to create bilingual children.
Sure.
We just want to inspire them with the idea of knowledge, of languages, and you know, all that intrigue and mystery and excitement of different cultures and different places, different words that are spoken around the world. And yeah, as you're doing that, yes, they absorb a lot of the language. As they move away, unless they're continuing it with the language,
Sure. Yeah,
it does fall away. But my goal is that if we make it really enjoyable for them, then as they go through and they get opportunities at school to learn languages, they remember, oh, I did French. That was really fun. If they just remember that it was fun, then that could be enough to inspire them to want to do more. So they remember doing it. They don't necessarily remember all their words because it hasn't been consistent when they've left. But it really has. I've had parents who have said to me their kids have gone on to school and when there's been news time, they have like news presentations in their classrooms, and kids have gone and done this. One little boy did this whole thing on Napoleon. How cute is that? Because I used to play this really fun little Napoleon game that I made up, and he went and did this whole talk on Napoleon. And the kids, when they went and did, they ended up having French in infants or primary school, and the teachers would say that, my gosh, your child's so enthusiastic. She's just like calling out all these answers because she'd done it at preschool. It's really nice. So, yeah, it definitely does create a wonderful sense of languages in them that does stay with them as they move through. And I think that's all we can ask.
Sure. Yeah. Then that will make them want to learn more in the future when they need to, maybe. Sure.
You've opened that door of intrigue and made it enjoyable. So then, yeah, that's what they remember, which is great.
Yeah, that's great. But did you also have some bilingual children in the childcare where you actually go and intervene? Or they're mainly like Australian, you're in Australia. So are there also like really bilingual children in the childcare? Or?
Yeah, there have been. The majority of them would be Aussies who don't tend to speak any other language but English.
Yeah, sure.
But often enough, and I love this too, and you've probably experienced this too, Cleo, because I know your children have access to different languages, which is so amazing. So you can probably relate to this. You can tell me your stories too. So what I found is that if there is a child who has two languages at home, and then they go and they learn English just by being in the environment at childcare, and then I turn up, and they're doing French, so they will pick up French as their fourth language faster than all the other kids, excuse me, who are just learning it as their second language.
Yeah.
And it happens every time, any suburb, any languages, and they really love it. Not only do they pick it up so fast, but the parents tell me that they love playing with the different languages at home. So, for example, there was this one girl she was three at the time. I had her for a couple of years. She spoke, dad was Dutch, so he spoke Dutch at home. Mum was Spanish, so she had Dutch and Spanish at home. She absorbed English by going to daycare.
Okay.
And then her French, she learned French. Like, she absorbed our French in, I don't like to use the words learn and teach because it's not the environment that
we're in. Yeah, no, sure, of course.
Like, but, you know, it makes sense to use those, but they absorb it just by, I had some directors recently who said, oh my gosh, some new centres we had. And they were saying the sessions are so fun and the kids love it so much that they don't even realize they're learning. That's what the director said. It's like, yes, that's exactly what we want. So, yeah, so they absorb it by having fun with the language. Anyway, so the parents would tell me that they'd be driving in the car and she'd be in the back asking them, so, Mum, how do you say dog in Dutch? And how do you say it in Spanish? And this is how you say it in French. But with such happiness and such... And she would, like, test her parents sometimes. Sometimes she's trying to test them. Sometimes she's seriously asking. She wants to know an answer. How do you actually say it in these languages? but you just loved this whole experience. Mm-hmm. Have you found similar things with your own children?
My children are the same. Well, it's interesting because when you have, my children were born in France, but we do speak Italian at home because we are both Italian. So when my children was about two, and she was always been in childcare in French, like in France at the time, since she was 4 months old. So I was expecting her to grow bilingual Italian-French. But you kind of get some mixed information about, you know, the fact that bilingual children very often start to speak later, that it's normal, and you just, you know, you're going to get a little, not worried, but you still have the concern, like, should we support her more? Should we, you know, is she going to be confused? And
what language were you speaking at home with her?
Italian, always Italian.
Speaking Italian at home, and then she was going to a French preschool.
Yeah, I tried to speak some English also, but it didn't work very well. So I just kind of dropped it because I didn't want her to be too like overwhelmed, and because it didn't come as natural to me. And then we were lucky enough that at the childcare, the educators were always very supportive, and they actually encouraged me to keep talking my native language with my daughter.
Great.
And they told me, you know, don't worry, she's gonna learn French, and in any case, so you just have to keep talking your language and she's gonna be fine and everything. And I actually learned afterward that many other parents that are in similar situations, they also worry that, you know, it's gonna be too much, that it's gonna overwhelm the children. And then actually what I found is that children just learn at the same time two or more languages, like, naturally, because they need to communicate. So when they need to, they just absorb it, like you said, you know, like it's like a sponge, and it doesn't make them learn later or sooner just because of the fact that they learn one or more languages. Because I saw it, like, when with my son, he's younger, he actually started talking very early, like a lot earlier than my daughter, even though we were still actually speaking Italian at home and French at school. And then we moved to Germany, where he was in an international school where they would speak English. Nonetheless, his Italian was very fluent. And then he started learning and speaking, you know, in English. And it's funny because as soon as we told them that we were moving back to France, well, my daughter forgot most of her French, and my son never really started speaking in French. He only knew a few words, so he doesn't speak French now. Sure. But as soon as we told him, he would start asking his teachers, how do you say this in German, and how do you say this in English, and how do you say this in Spanish, because his teacher was from Venezuela, so she would sometimes speak Spanish. And then how do you say this in French?
And this is in the international school that he's asking this?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So he would start asking, you know, to the teachers. All of a sudden, he was interested in knowing how you say things in French and in German and in English. And so it's kind of like you said, and at home we would play the game too. So sometimes when we read books, we kind of mix the languages and we play with the language, and then we start asking, so how do you say this in this language? And do you know how to say this in French? Just kids just love it. More than when you force them doing something like in this proper studying sense.
Yeah.
But if you try to sign, you know, with playing games and stuff like that. I don't know if you have some games or activities that you can suggest parents that want to support the, you know.
So personally, I don't have anything. I did have a couple of apps a few years ago, which were really fun, but I haven't continued those. They needed to be upgraded regularly, and it was quite a bit of an investment, and it was, the whole app world is this entire different universe that you have to get involved in. So that was fun. I had that as a resource for my girls who work with me and for the kids, which was fun. But if parents are wanting to, well, first of all, clearly from what we've both discovered, if you speak another language already at home, just stick with it. So yes, there are those worries, and yes, I've heard them too. And sometimes even teachers are telling the parents, I've heard some stories where teachers have said, you know, your child is a little bit slower picking up her English or whatever that country's language is, you know, maybe you want to stop speaking your language at home. And it's really upsetting to hear. I know parents get upset because it's not true. It's just those teachers haven't had experience with bilingualism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. They've only spoken the one language themselves. All they're doing is trying to get the child to do well in that language, but they don't realize they haven't seen. And like you say, so, you know, I think it's more just a personal thing for each child rather than the fact that they speak more languages. Because you said your who was it, your son? One of them would just picked it up really, really fast.
And yeah, it was my son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And while the other one might be, oh, that's right, you said he started speaking really early, even though he had access to two languages. Okay, so that's just a quirk of the child, whether they do or whether they don't. But if you don't speak your language at home, it's just such a loss for those children. They will eventually speak the language of the country they live in. It's not like they're going to grow up to be adults who don't know how to talk.
Yeah, you know,
they're going to absorb it. It's going to happen. It does happen because they're surrounded by it. They're going to learn that language. It's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose your home language, that's such a shame. And those children, as they get older, when they're younger, it's a bit different. But as they age and as they become young adults, how often do you hear this? I hear so many people say, oh, I so regret that my parents never spoke to me in their language. I wish I had have learned another language.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
So many times.
You're opening doors. You're not making it harder for them. Mm-hmm. Even though you're scared it might be harder, it's actually not. And we've seen this again and again. I think I mentioned to you once this little boy, just as another example. And I've seen these examples a million times. This one has stuck in my mind, this little two-year-old Chinese boy. He started daycare. He was only two. I may think even maybe a little under two. And they only spoke Mandarin at home.
Okay.
This boy was very bright, and so he already spoke a few words of Mandarin. He went to daycare, and within 6 months, so by 2.5, he was speaking English the same as all the other kids of the same age. And then he was doing French with me when I would turn up there. And the staff would tell me that after I'd left that he was out in the playground saying all these cute little French words in the playground, just spontaneously and naturally. So this little 2.5-year-old boy was speaking Mandarin, English and French. And Mandarin and English fluently for his age. French, just a few of the words here and there that we were doing. But he loved it, and I swear to you, he picked it up faster than all the other kids. Again, the same thing. Every time I get a child who is like seems to remember their French words really quickly from one week to the next, just seems really bright with it, I always ask the staff, do they speak another language at home? And nearly every time it's like, oh, yeah, they do. Well, there you go.
Yeah, no, sure.
It's the opposite of what everybody thinks. It doesn't hinder them. It helps them. It's sometimes something just clicks in their brain. The more languages they have exposure to, the faster they pick them up.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a brain gymnastics or if it's some also like a training to the ear, like that you actually train to hear more sounds, or is also the fact that you kind of get used to the fact that people can speak differently and so it doesn't surprise you as much. Like I noticed for my children, it's just kind of normal now that, you know, that people may speak different languages, so they don't expect people to speak Italian for once. Like when we go around and they hear people speaking Italian, they're kind of surprised.
Not sure.
I mean, of course, unless we are at grandparents because there they know that people speaking Italian. But in the other situation, like when they hear people speaking Italian, they're like, "Oh, mama, he speaks Italian." And sometimes they would ask me, like, what language does he speak? Like, what language should we speak with them? And so it becomes kind of natural that since they are surrounded, by other kids that come from different cultures and speak different languages, so they, you know, it's kind of normal. So they just kind of expect that words can be said, like things can have different words and can have different sounds.
Exactly.
And or, you know, the meaning of something can be expressed in different ways. So maybe that's also why they kind of, you know, they kind of get this exercise where they just know that.
I don't know what there is. I don't know what the scientific explanation is. When I've sort of researched it a bit, there are different ideas as to how and why, etc. I just know that it's a fact. And you've noticed the same thing.
Yeah.
And I loved your story. I remember you saying this last time, talking about how the different attitude of the children who would go to this international school compared to when they were going just to a school, for example, that only spoke French and there wasn't much else. And you were what you were explaining then about how they become really fascinated with all the different all the different nationalities and words of everybody else.
They then start asking, because also what happens in the international school is that, you know, people move a lot more often than in a regular school, because that's the setting. So it happens that, you know, children come and go and you kind of lose your friends because they go somewhere else. So what we try to do was, you know, to kind of show them in the map where they would go, or the teachers, where they come from, what's their country, and, you know, where is in the world. So they kind of, you know, now can ask me, oh, is it night where my friend is now, or is the sun up there, is he waking up, or where is in the map? And so it kind of gets, you know, a sense of a bigger world, and that we are in a,
you know. How exciting is that? And then for them, that's just really natural. It's just really natural. And how?
It becomes natural.
It becomes natural. And that's why I get so excited about the idea of having this environment in the childcare centres, using the staff who are already there, who already have two or three languages, and not sharing them with the kids. Because look what's happening with your children, the difference you've seen in their attitudes from going from just a French-speaking school to an international school. And like in this climate, in this modern sort of political climate where all these countries are talking about how do we make this work without having the friction of the different cultures? How do we
make sure everybody... Integration.
Integrate happily and feel respected. And but even more than that, you can get to a sense of they're being
connected, also like part of a community.
Part of a community where diversity is seen as normal. And
definitely,
but even to the next step where diversity, what I think, even to the next step where diversity is seen as a joy, it's like it adds an element of excitement and intrigue, even for adults. Exposure to so much more. And so while the world, the governments are trying to create something that works, well, what a perfect way to get it started. But this environment that the kids are experiencing at the international school.
Take advantage of all the diversity that we have, right? Even in normal schools, we lose so much. I think, like, as you said, like so many of us have moved or are moving, and in our cities we have so many, you know, professionals that come from other countries or that can speak other language. They have stories that they can share, they have a language that they can share, they have little anecdotes, and it can be also through some fun things like songs or, you know, kitchen recipes or, you know, food, specific regional food or something like that. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't need a big budget for this. It just relate to the person
there already.
And you know what would work great in the school that I just love so much, and it made me think so much of this integration and diversity, was that every morning we would meet at the hall and sing together. It would be the educators, the children, and the parents who could come. So it was at 8:45 in the morning until 9, so it was 15 minutes. But every day they would everybody. So all the kids, all the classes, all the teachers, all the educators. And the teachers were animating. One would play the guitar and one would sing, and they had a book with songs. And then they would ask sometimes parents to sing their, you know, songs from their countries, or the teachers that know songs from other countries or in other languages, they would sing it. So, or, you know, like there are songs that already exist in different languages, like in Italian, we have Fra Martino, which is Frère Jacques, and Brother Jacob, and Bruder Jacob in German, and, you know, it's the same song, just translate, right? And so it's so much fun, because the kids just love it. You know, they love the sounds. It's really the notion of language as different sounds. And you have these 15 minutes where you have people from different countries, different religions, different backgrounds, and there they are singing all together, you know, with our children. It's just, you know, this is, to me, this is the image, the picture of integration, in the sense where we all part of a community, each one with our own individual stories, individual past and future and language and culture, but sharing nonetheless something in common. Like, and yeah, so it doesn't have to be something fancy, you know, it was just 15 minutes of singing together with taking advantage.
How did that work? So were they, like, you were singing in different languages all together. Did the parent, like, I'm imagining that not everybody would know the songs in the different languages. How did that work?
As we, when there were new songs, they would usually give some, you know, the text to read to the parents. Otherwise, usually they play, you know, since it's every day, you end up memorizing the songs after a while. You go there, so the first month in the school, maybe you don't know the songs and you just don't sing it, but then, you know, if you go there regularly, then you happen to hear them. Mostly it's English. It was English. It was mostly English and German.
Oh, okay.
But then they would introduce sometimes, you know, asking parents, and or sometimes parents would offer also to. So it's something specific to the school, but to me, it's just like one of their core, you know, educational projects. But I just, it's, you know, it just came to my mind when you were talking about, you know, this fact that languages are a way of teaching diversity and acceptance of diversity, and it's
exactly,
you know, and this, and to me, is like the example of how something so simple.
What are some nationalities that you remember for in that international school? What, like, were there heaps of different nationalities or mostly?
They were
European.
I mean, like, of course, the school was in German, so in Germany, so not most, but half the kids were German.
Yep.
But then there were also American, Japanese, Indian, some Italian, some Spanish, some from Belgium, Netherlands. Really, yeah, from the Netherlands. What else? From China.
Oh, that's a lovely mix, hey.
From Syria. Yeah, I mean, like, from Australia, from New Zealand also.
That's an exciting environment. I love that.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting. But I mean, like, of course, this is maybe something specific and special, and not every school can have the same. But I think you can have, you know, you can take some of these also in regular, you know, in regular public school, like singing the songs or playing games and having words attached to it. It's just like, you know, offering the kids an opportunity to discover.
I had a lovely chat with this. Okay, so she's German. She's living in New Zealand. She's an early childhood educator. And I had a video chat with her too. She's wonderful. Tanya, her name is. And in her preschool in New Zealand, they do exactly what you're saying. They have a passion for languages. So at the moment in New Zealand, apparently Maori being the native mm-hmm. language of the native people, that's becoming quite commonly incorporated into the childcare centres. They want to make that a bit of a feature. In this particular centre, they do that. They do what you're saying. So she said they specifically look at studying, discovering all these different countries and nationalities, and they all learn words and songs in different languages, and they make a point of that. That's like a feature of their centre. And she said, Tanya was saying to me that if there is a child who comes from a different background, mm-hmm. then they speak with the parents, and they ask the parents some of the words, and they try to incorporate their words, and they deliberately try and bring in some songs and some meals, and they really make it a thing. And then at the end of the year, they have this concert, and they change it a little bit each year, I believe, but the concert incorporates cultures and nationalities and languages. This is perfect. I just think this is wonderful. So they want to be able to, their challenge is to have their educators, they have, I think, four different nationalities there, and they all do a little bit of their language.
Yeah.
But the director was saying they really want to make it more consistent. And so, like, that's where I can step in and help them, show them all these different ways to make it a regular part of their days. But like you say, it's not like they have to find more time or do something expensive. They're already there. Yeah. They're already having activities with the kids. Like, when you're playing that activity, just add it. I call it the double whammy. You just do a double whammy. You just do the same activity and you throw in some of your words.
Yeah.
And then you learn how to do that in a really fun way. Make sure they're interacting with you, and mm-hmm. then they're laughing. And it's so easy. You haven't had to find more time.
Yeah. No, it's basically doing the same thing but differently, right? So
yeah, you just tweak a little bit the way you do it, so that if they're discovering manners, say they're having a session, they're learning about manners, or they're learning about sea creatures, or they're learning about space, or, you know, they have all these themes in their classroom, or just still do that and just throw in some of your words from your language into that. The kids absolutely lap it up. Every time I've worked with educators who are Russian, Chinese, Serbian, Greek, Italian, just all these different nationalities, and they all get the same results from the kids. They say the children love it. And then I ask them, well, what about the parents? sometimes they're worried that the parents, they're worried about the what the parents yeah. might think. Mm-hmm. But in fact, the parents really like it. Every time they're chuffed to hear their children coming home speaking these different words.
Yeah, sure.
They love it. So, you know, it's rare. I have heard of one this lovely educator I had contact with. I think she's in America and she was speaking Spanish, I think.
Okay.
And her parents were just really, really nervous and they didn't want to have another language. They just wanted their child to go and learn whatever they were doing in that center. And she was so disappointed because she really wanted to do this, but it's just a matter of exposing the parents to the fact that, in fact, it's a positive, it's not a negative, it's not going to slow your child down, just like we were saying before.
Yeah.
So that's a message to spread, really, because
yeah, sure.
if some of the, like the staff are wanting to, and generally speaking, 99% of the time, the parents think it's brilliant. You just sometimes get those parents who are a little bit unsure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of letting everybody know, you know, this is cool. Then share the stories with them to show them how it actually is a real positive, and the kids are going to be fine in all their languages. You don't have to be worried that they're not going to pick up the where they live. It's just, it ain't going to happen.
No, sure, of course. It's actually, there are only good reasons for introducing another language in school. So I actually wonder why this is not done more on a regular basis. Like they introduce all these programs now, especially in elementary schools, I think in Europe, but I think in Australia it's the same. Like you have a second language when you start elementary school, and I kind of feel it's kind of too late. I mean, like, it was already a big thing, but you know, like kids, when they're younger, even younger, and when they catch it as if it's a game, and they get the accent, they get the right pronunciation, they get all to hear better. And it's like, why? I mean, there are only good reasons. You know, they learn about diversity, they learn about integration, they learn so many things, also about expressing yourself, right? And it's like, you know, why?
Yeah, it's confidence. It builds their confidence in communicating with other people from different places. It makes them more sociable because they feel more comfortable.
Of course.
With people speaking in different words. It also affects their cognitive ability, which is amazing. So there are heaps of benefits. I think it's just a matter of getting that message out there more and more. And you're right. I suppose the thinking is, okay, get them fluent in their normal language, and then we'll start them speaking it. In Australia, they've been really slack. I mean, languages have only been high school.
Okay.
And you don't get a lot of children who choose them. In the beginning, in the first year of high school, I think, well, when I was there, we had French for a term, German for a term, and Indonesian for a term. I think it's changed now. There's a lot more focus on Mandarin and Japanese here at the moment. Mm-hmm. But then you get to choose whether or not you want to do a language after that. And not many people did. I did. I absolutely loved it. I ended up being the only person left in a class for French. By the time I was at the end of high school, it was just myself and my teacher. And I think back now thinking, gosh, you know, she took time out of her. We would meet before school in the staff room or after school in the staff room. And to me, that was just like, that was cool. But now looking back, I'm thinking, she probably did that. Like, they would have told her, we can't have a class anymore, we're just one, two students.
Yeah.
So she would have just taken her own time, and maybe she wasn't paid extra for that, just to help me because I wanted to do it. How great is that?
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, but passion for teaching, right?
Yeah. But just to say that there are not that many students. Mm-hmm. There are, but there are not heaps of them.
Yeah.
Whereas what you're saying, what they don't realize is they're missing the opportunity of doing it earlier when the kids think it's super fun. They pick it up really easily.
Yeah.
You're right. Everybody who's experienced knows this. Everyone who has been through it, they understand that.
It's just a matter of putting it up. And I think people don't realize it, or they don't see it as a priority. And I mean, like, I understand in Australia, because English now is like the main, you know, language internationally. So for people already speaking English as mother language than or mother tongue, then doesn't, I mean, it makes less sense, so to say. But in Europe, you know, in France or in Italy or in Germany, there's this thing where you have to learn English, right? Otherwise, you kind of, you know, gets lost something important. So it's becoming compulsory in elementary school, I think. Yeah. I'm thinking about it, is compulsory or not, or from middle school, but I'm pretty sure in Italy you already have it in elementary school. But you know, it's kind of like, you know, you do it once a week, and I mean, it's not, you know, it's not enough. You just got it, and it becomes a, you know, a topic you study, you know. It's not a joyful experience. Yeah, it's not like a vehicle for communicating with another person. It's different. And whereas what you say is just like when you do it early in, you know, in childcare, it's just like a way of playing, a way of.
And it's not a lesson. It's like, okay, now we're going to speak another. No.
Yeah, I don't have the pressure.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just part of it. It's just normal. And like they do in the, you know, like the environment they have in the international school. Mm-hmm. It's just. If there's a Spanish teacher who happens to be working there, she's doing stuff in Spanish with them. Like, yeah, of course. To me, it just seems normal.
Would you say it's like a way of experimenting with yourself, like with yourself or with your environment, right? A way of, I don't know, yeah, a way of experiencing different sounds, different ways of seeing things or naming things, and finally
and
get...
that too, and so, like you realize when you become, well, for those who actually... become bilingual or multilingual, you also take on a kind of different part of yourself that matches that culture, because it's true that there are cultural norms as far as attitudes towards things or just
definitely
the way the languages are expressed reflects how people are thinking, and so you end up having a broad
different personality.
It's true.
No. I feel this. I definitely feel the same. It comes to the point where I know I'm gonna feel more in a certain. Yeah, I'm gonna feel more of a certain attitude speaking or hearing a certain language. So I kind of now guide myself in a sense that when I want to feel more, you know, energetic or challenged, I just talk English in English or hear English. Or when I want to more focus on myself, my inner self, or find, you know, my answers, it's going to be more French because I kind of relate more to that conversation. And yeah, so definitely it's not like having different personality, but it really allows to explore a separate part of yourself. And it's kind of funny because it's also when you speak the language, like when I hear myself talking in a language that's not mine, and then I hear myself, it's, I don't have the same voice. It's just like, I don't have.
It's true. Somebody's like, what? I kind of sound like a Frenchie when I say it. They're like, I've got their attitude saying, that's not how I normally feel when I'm speaking English.
No, but I guess it's because you have to use a different conformation of your mouth or like, I don't know, of your face in order to produce the sounds. But it's just like, yeah, it forces you to assume a different, also, yeah, a different face, a different mimic, and different sound coming out. It's not like a mask, but some way of getting to know yourself better somehow, and the fact that you have all different attitudes inside yourself, and you can kind of like let them out in a way that it's actually expressed in the language, right?
And the fact that sometimes you need to find a word, you're struggling to express how you're feeling or an idea.
And you can't in your language and you have to freak it from another.
Yeah, that's right. In that language.
And it's so frustrating when the other person doesn't know and you're like, I just have to say it in that. There's no translation.
Yes, exactly.
I know, it happens all the time.
Absolutely broadens your experience of life, which is so wonderful.
Yeah, no, but it's funny. It's actually because here, you know, where we live in France, there are many Italians. And so we kind of now have created our own language where we mix Italian and French. Because sometimes we take the French words for expressing things that don't exist in Italian, or they, you know, you just don't say it in the same way, you don't have a word, you maybe have a longer expression. And of course, if I go to Italy and speak to an Italian with using those words, they wouldn't understand. So we can only use that between us.
It's the hybrid language. I love those hybrid languages. And you just hear families, just half a sentence will be in one language and the other half just automatically flows in another language, or there'll just be a word thrown in some other language because it just works better. But I love that. It's so cool.
Yeah, purists would say that it's a sin, but I just feel it's, you know, it's a way of, language is a way of expressing what we think and what we feel. So if it works.
Languages have evolved over the centuries. So just to say you must only speak in this one particular way forevermore into eternity, it's like... That language that existed then wasn't like that 200 years beforehand. Expressions are invented, expressions have changed, grammar sometimes changes,
yeah, sure.
Sometimes spelling changes over the decades and the centuries. It's like language evolves, so hey, that is, I think that's the fun of it.
Yeah, not that, right. So speaking, teaching it to children, it's a great way to get them started to that.
Absolutely, I would highly recommend it. If you don't have any second languages at home, there are plenty of great apps you can access. So I don't have any names of them. I just know that they exist. There are there are books. There are cute YouTube cartoons that you can watch. If you really like to expose your children to that, if you can find something outside of a home where they have a play group or they have a little language session, become a part of that. If you just want to get some apps on your iPad or get a couple of little books and discover the language together, that's nice for the kids to see that their parents are learning something at the same time. It's not like the parents have all the answers and once you're an adult, you know everything. They get to see that the parents learning something new as well. And you can discover the language together and, you know, play with it while you're cooking dinner and just say it's yummy in a different language. Say thank you in a different language, that, you know. So there are plenty of ways you can try and integrate that into a little bit your home life, even if you don't have another language at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and show curiosity and interest and, some kind of excitement for it. So I think kids get, you know, very sensitive to that as well. Like, if you throw a face at, we have to do the language, of course it's not going to work. But
it doesn't work at all if you force them. It just has to be natural and fun. If it's natural and fun, then to them, you know, that's how they discover, that's how they learn.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Judith. Great chatting with you. I hope, you know, people who listen enjoy this as well and can get some inspiration for their daily lives.
I hope you've got some ideas and I hope it's sort of broadened your thoughts about bringing languages into your children's lives and maybe even into your own lives.
Yeah, let's hope so. I'm sorry for my messy everything. I just moved, so I'm full of boxes and
it's like lovely. It's completely natural and good luck with the unpacking.
So thank you.
Allez, bisous.
Bisous. Ciao, thanks. Bye-bye.